From KUOW 94.9 Seattle, I'm Ross Reynolds. Before her movies were premiering at the Sundance Film Festival in Cannes, filmmaker Lynn Shelton was catching double features at the Varsity Theater in the U District. Lynn is a Seattle native known for indie hits like Hump Day and Your Sister's Sister. I spoke to her in May 2012 before her most recent film, Your Sister's Sister, opened at the Seattle International Film Festival. It was the first made-in-Seattle film to open the festival.
Welcome, Lynn Shelton. Thank you so much for being here. I've read that you attended the Seattle International Film Festival as a teenager.
Mm-hmm. I did, yeah, my whole life. I grew up here, so it's been a part of my life ever since I can remember, basically.
Any formative moments of watching films at the festival over the years that you recall?
Well, there was the one year when I bought a week-long pass, and I sort of had an opening in my life. It must have been during college, and I went to like 80 films or something crazy, and they all just turned into one big blur. So I don't know how people who do it every year keep them all straight.
I know.
My brain just turns to mush, but it's great.
They're clubs, people who just kind of compete to see how many of those dozens and dozens of films they can check out. Did you ever imagine yourself back as a teenager going to the festival having a film in it?
It was a huge dream, but it seemed like an untouchable, unimaginable dream, quite frankly. So yeah, the first time I got in, it was a huge thrill. And then I've gotten in several times, and every time it always is just really exciting. Even if I, like, Hump Day premiered at Sundance and we went to Cannes, and those were really big deals. But I remember then I was even more nervous going to the showing at the Seattle International Film Festival. I think it was because
hometown,
it felt like the hometown.
Yeah,
yeah, and it's like, I have to see these people on the street, you know?
Yeah.
Whereas those other foreign countries or different places, like even Park City, you may never see those people again. So I think there was something about, yeah, really wanting to appeal to the hometown crowd.
You came to making feature films from an interesting path. You had a master's degree from the School of Visual Arts in New York. You'd been a stage actress, a freelance film editor. You'd done some avant-garde films, but it's kind of an interesting story that I read, that it was actually a screening here in Seattle at the Northwest Film Forum that inspired you to try your hand at feature films. Could you tell us about that?
Yeah. Well, and I have to put a plug in for the University of Washington School of Drama, which is where I got my BA. I started as an actor in the theater and then sort of went towards photography and then editing and experimental filmmaking. And the one thing that that Margie got wrong in the in the New York Times article was that, in which you referred to, is that I wasn't really in any kind of crisis about where my career was. I was perfectly happy doing what I was doing, which was making kind of experimental documentaries and editing. But I did start harboring this secret desire to make a feature film, directed feature film, that I hadn't really told anybody about. And I kind of figured it was too late.
How old were you then?
I was like 36 or something. And I remember seeing Claire Denis, who had this body of work, and I thought she was brilliant, and figuring out during this talk that she talked about being 20 when she started assistant directing Francois Truffaut, and then 20 years later had made her first feature. And it just was incredibly inspiring to me, because I remember thinking at the time, okay, I've got 3 years left or 4 years left or whatever it was, you know. And it's not too late. Like, I can still be a filmmaker. I still have a career, you know. It just, I don't know. It felt like indie filmmaking just seems like something that young men do.
Not anymore.
And a lot of my friends who are indie filmmakers, fellow indie filmmakers, are these guys in their 20s, you know, now getting older. But that just does, it seems to be dominated. It's a field that's sort of dominated by these very overconfident young guys, you know. And so it was really helpful for me to see this incredibly powerful woman who had started later.
And an incredible filmmaker. So she kind of personally inspired you with her story. But when you were harboring desires to make a feature film, was there a filmmaker in mind that you had whose work you wanted to sort of match in look or tone or acting or anything?
I mean, I'd been inspired by many, many filmmakers over the years, from Woody Allen early on. And then all along the way, I mean, I remember being at the University of Washington and going a lot to all the theaters in this neighborhood, actually, that we're in right now, the Neptune and the Varsity and Seven Gables, and especially the Grand Illusion. I remember going to a festival of all of Godard's films, were tremendously influential, and Tarkovsky. And so some sort of highbrow, you know, foreign filmmakers. I'm a fan of a good romantic comedy, of action films. I've always loved films. I used to like to go see, you know, 2 to 3 films a day. They used to have double features, right? So I would see a double feature at the Varsity and then go around the corner to the Neptune and see another film. You know, that was I would just see everything.
Well, it was your 2009 film, Hump Day, that really got a lot of people paying attention to you, about two straight men who decide to make a gay porno film to enter in the Strangers Hump Fest amateur porn contest. Got a lot of attention for you, and also has had this amazing afterlife, too, hasn't it?
Well, yeah. I visited the set in the fall of the French remake, which was got to be one of the most surreal experiences of my life. I was sitting on a French soundstage outside of the, you know, French version of the hotel set from my movie. That was a real. I mean, my movie could not have been made more sort of guerrilla style, indie spirit. You know, it was just like down and dirty and cheap and under the radar and totally improvised. Like all of the dialogue was completely improvised. Not like actually was. And this filmmaker took Ivan Attal. He took this improvised script and turned it into a script and translated it in French. And here are these French movie stars and this enormous. I mean, for the amount of money that they made this movie for, I could have made 100 of the original Hump Days. I mean, it was just like crazy. Yeah. And it's beautiful and incredible. I mean, I'm really excited. It's like this different version, but it's. I saw him film a scene that was not in my film, that was an additional scene he'd written, but it totally was of the same world. And I said to him, I didn't have that movie, that film scene in my movie, but it could have easily been in my movie. And he said, I do not think I betrayed you, your film. And I said, you didn't. I can't wait to see it.
Not when you use that accent. So.
Yeah, exactly. You can say anything you want.
Hump Day really got a lot of success, and it's been being remade as the French film. You also directed episodes of Mad Men and The New Girl. What's it like to walk into these well-oiled machines and start to tell Don Draper what to do, for example?
I was a huge, huge fan of that TV show. So, and I'd been lobbying. I knew I was in the running to be a guest director that season. And when they finally gave it to me, I was like, oh, I hope I can do this because I've just been up in the hinterlands making my own movies in my own like strange little way. And so I wasn't sure what it would be like to work with union crew and on a big, in a soundstage in L.A. And then with all these actors that I totally admired, you know, and I was a little worried about what would happen. I got a little weak in the knees thinking about it. But it turned out to be totally easy. I mean, not easy. I never worked so hard in my life, but it turned out my skill set was really actually a good fit. They work extremely fast, and that's what I do. That's kind of my MO. I make films. Like Hump Day was a 10-day shoot, and Your Sister was 12. So I really know how to get in there and, you know what I want, and then get what I know when I've gotten it and move on. And so it was very confidence inspiring. You know, it made me realize, I can do this in any context, and I could walk onto the set of any studio film and I'd be fine, you know. So, and working with the actors that I admired was a little surreal at first. You know, I remember getting a tour and standing in Betty Draper's kitchen and touching the counter and going, oh, this is really weird. But the most surreal thing was by the end of the day, how unweird it was, you know, that it was just like I'd gone through the other side of the looking glass.
So there's such a short shoot. I guess there's no time for hazing. They're professional. Let's just get to work and do it.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, everybody has to be a professional. I mean, the good thing for me was that since it was my first TV job, they very smartly suggested or suggested strongly that I shadow another director. So I was there for a few weeks before shadowing another really experienced director. And that was unbelievably helpful. And I also made a point of getting, you know, I really knew the crew. I knew everybody's names and they were all my buddies, you know, by the time so I felt like they had my back by the time I actually started directing, which was really helpful.
So is the plan, Lynn Shelton, to kind of go between these sort of work for hire things like television shows or maybe being hired to do someone else's movie and your own movies?
Yeah. I mean, every film that I make, I'd like to be a Lynn Shelton film. I'd like it to be one of mine. Not that it necessarily has to start with me. I'm going to make a movie that was written by another writer, Andrea Siegel, called Laggies. So that's on the docket to happen at some point soon, hopefully. But I only, you know, I've read lots and lots of scripts and been offered the opportunity to sort of throw my hat in the ring to direct those films. And there are very few that actually speak to me and say, you know, this is something that you can turn into, you know, that you can make into a movie of your own, or that it'll feel of you. And she just happens to have a voice that is very simpatico with my own and emotionally grounded, humorous, dramatic, but funny, but coming out of this kind of very resonant, authentic place, character-based place.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm open to that. But the films, but I'd like to be my own. But then I that's why I kind of love television, because it gives me a chance to stretch my muscles and to go in and work with a new crew and work with different actors. And it's really, really fun. I just love being on set. I love directing.
Yeah.
And so it gives me an opportunity to get on set more than I would be able to if I was just doing my own films.
So were you able to look back at that Mad Men episode, for example, and go, that was a Lynn Shelton moment. That was me in that.
Well, no, not really. I mean, the thing about TV is that you are channeling the creator's, you know, the producer's vision, which is great. I mean, I love being on set as a director, but I also just love being on set, period. And when my friends are making films in town, I tend to stalk the set. I'm just like fly on the wall. I tend to like, hi, here I am. You know, sorry, I'm just going to try and stay out of the way. But I love that environment. So it was really fun. The thing that's nice about being on a television show as a director is you're really part of the crew. You know, it's like you're the captain of the ship, but you're not the admiral of the fleet. And so you're doing exactly the same job that you'd be doing on your own movie, but it's actually harder because you're trying to channel somebody else's vision. So, you know, Hump Day was completely handheld, except for 2% of the movie or something. And, if you know, stylistically, aesthetically, looks completely the opposite of what Mad Men looks like. So, you know, I had to really get into Matt Weiner's head and figure out, you know, try to really please him when I was on set and trust his own vision.
As does your new film, Your Sister's Sister, a small film, three main characters, starts with this very awkward scene at a memorial service, moves to a San Juan Island cabin where it kind of maybe tends toward a sex farce, and then goes deep in relationships between people and family and maturity, and then with this really wonderful ending that's incredibly ambiguous, kind of a cliffhanger. So maybe we'll see Your Sister's Sister Part 2. I don't know about that. But is that the structure you envisioned ahead of time? As you alluded to, you give your actors a lot of leeway. Did it become that form from working with them, or did you always have that in mind?
Well, it doesn't become that form on set. I really know structurally, I know exactly, you know, what's going to happen in each scene and how the whole journey of the film is going to play out beforehand. And it might get nuanced a little bit in the edit room, but basically that's all planned out beforehand. So I do work with improvisation, but it's really only to get a sense of naturalism and authenticity in the dialogue. And so in this case, I actually wrote I wrote out most of the scenes. It was like a 70-page sort of scriptment. And that was after several months of working with the actors to develop backstory. So when I brought the idea to them, it was still pretty roughly hewn. And then I asked the actors, I asked them in this case, to really help me figure out who these people were. What are their backstories? What are their relationships with each other? And once I figure out who those characters are, then I go back. It sort of bleeds back and forth, the writing the plot of the film and the scenes and how they're going to interact with each other and how it's all going to be believable. I really wanted, you know, credibility is really important to me. So, I'm very collaborative with the actors, but it's more, and they do end up informing the plot, because that backstory and that character work is going to just naturally kind of splash over to the plot stuff. But we know on set, before we start shooting, we know exactly what's going to happen in the movie.
Well, you said a 12-day shoot for Your Sister's Sister. So is that include rehearsals? Or do you have a lot of time before that to kind of work out the improvisation and the shape and the backstory?
No rehearsals, because the thing about improvisation is that the first time you do it, it is often the best time. You want to basically be shooting the rehearsal, because a lot of times that first take is going to, you know, there will be a surprise that one actor springs on another actor that you can't recreate. You know, there's a moment in the movie where Emily Blunt is blushes for real on screen, and she says she's never experienced that before, and she couldn't replicate it. There was no way to do that, because I said to Rosemary DeWitt, I need you to really embarrass her, basically. I sort of whispered into her ear, and I said, you know, and we were trying to think of something. She said, I got it. And she comes up with the story that just absolutely mortified Emily. And she's sort of laughing and crying at the same time, you know, basically when she springs this on her. So that's the beauty of improv, is that you have these truly spontaneous moments that can't be created in any other way.
Hey, Lynn Shelton, thank you so much
for stopping by.
From KUOW 94.9 Seattle, I'm Ross Reynolds.